Introduce our very special guest for this evening.
All right, good evening, Mr. Phil Auer, members of the board. Thank you for having us here tonight. I want to introduce to you a group of fourth grade students, and I was told I didn't need to give any background at all, that they know exactly what they want to say and they're going to fill you in properly. I would invite the board, you may want to come on this side before they start. And Ms. Erica Hickson and Ms. Christine Wade are two teachers at the school. Ms. Wade's a fourth grade teacher. Ms. Hickson's our music teacher. And they did something pretty special earlier in the year, and I've asked them to come and tell you about it. Thank you very much.
Good evening, Mr. Phil Auer, members of the board, Dr. Boitscher, administrators, and citizens of Oak Ridge. Remember the Gatlinburg fires? You would have had to be under a rock or in a cave if you didn't hear. One school in Gatlinburg called Pi Beta Phi was impacted by the fires. You will hear more about them later. My name is Odelia Kneiser.
And I'm Carly Brown.
The Linden fourth grade is here to help.
One day in class, we were talking about leadership. Our teacher, Miss Wade, brought up the idea of helping Gatlinburg. Everyone agreed it was a good idea. Later on, we decided we need a name because we can't just be blank. We decided we came up with Kids Helping Kids, a.k.a. KHK.
Pi Beta Phi didn't exactly burn down or catch on fire, although it was damaged by smoke. Students had to attend schools in different buildings. We had a toy drive and a pocket change drive and a holiday concert, and we asked for donations. We raised $1,150.07. Wow. We are happy to know that the students were able to return to their building this month.
We came together by brainstorming. Then everyone started coming up with ideas. One way we can help started coming up with ideas on ways we can help, like boxes in the hallway for clothes to be dropped in, a talent show, a cocoa stand, a hot cocoa stand, and much more. Then we realized we couldn't meet in class every day, so we thought of using a communication system. We used Office 365. At first, we had an email group, but then too many people got involved. So now it is an online notebook.
We decided we needed to get local, like at our school. Since we're Kids Helping Kids, we can help any kids. So we started helping kindergartners with their playground, and there are many opportunities coming up. A few things that we are planning to do are a money drive, selling cookies at Family Art Night, a sip and shop at Southern Bliss, and working concessions at our school talent show.
We would like to give a huge shout out to Y12. They did a toy drive with us, and we would also love to hear some ideas if you have any. Again, I'm Carly Brown.
And I'm Odelia Kneiser. We represent Kids Helping Kids. Thank you for your time.
Like a song.
While we're all still here, if I could get everyone to join me as we honor America and stand for the pledge to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, wait a minute. Anyway, are you trying to get them out of here or what? I say this every time because it's true every time. You've just witnessed the best part of the Board of Education meeting tonight. So let's have another round of applause for these ladies and gentlemen. Now, we're going to start right here on the end with you as we leave. You'll go first, and everybody will just follow you. And I want you to stop at the microphone right there. I want you to look right in that camera. This is everybody's chance to really be famous now because there's millions of people watching you on television tonight. So just stop and tell us your first and last name, and then you can go on out. Can you do that? We'll start right here.
My name is Tegan Tate.
My name is Ben Rupp.
My name is Riley Kierton.
My name is Destiny Bitten.
My name is Lyra Lee.
My name is Audrey Rouse.
My name is Andy Stelmo.
My name is Leo Ellers.
My name is Roe Houseman.
My name is Odelia Kneiser.
My name is Carly Brown.
My name is Josiah Sproles.
My name is Daisy Kircher.
My name is John Kittle.
My name is Kyrie Hollingsworth.
My name is Mariana de la Cerda.
And my name is Connor. Callison.
And we thank you, parents and grandparents and friends, for having them here tonight. Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Marshall. Any additions, corrections, changes to the agenda? Hearing none, all those in favor of approval signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Next item on our agenda is special reports and presentations. First item is good news. We'll start with Mr. Eby.
Mr. Chairman, my good news comes from Glenwood School. Glenwood students used their school-wide STEM activity to create a Candy House Village as a service project for the Smoky Mountains Fire Relief Fund, and they raised $420 in donations. And the Glenwood PTO worked with a resource teacher, Missy McCallum, and received a grant from Lowe's of $4,835 to enhance their new playground with adaptive play devices.
Ms. Eagle.
From Linden, in addition to the tremendous vocal talent you just witnessed and their very good hearts in helping with the Gatlinburg fire, a Linden fourth grader, Adriana King, will be honored in the annual Dogwood Art Show for a clay art piece. During December and January, the Knoxville Museum of Art featured a special exhibit containing pieces from 39 Linden students. And the 8th Annual Family Art Night will be held at Linden on Friday, March 31st from 6 to 8 p.m. This event will feature local artists from around the area. The community is invited to attend.
Ms. McLean.
I have good news from Willowbrook. The Willowbrook began its girls' first season of Girls on the Run and thanks in part to a grant from the Knoxville Area Mentoring Initiative. This program uses running to inspire and motivate girls and to build confidence in them. Also at Willowbrook, teachers Lisa Meidel and Leslie Addis received literacy grants from Altrusa and the Breakfast Rotary. From Woodland, their good news is their first grader Caleb Johnson won first place at the Dogwood Arts Festival. He'll have his art on display in a gallery in Maryville as part of the festival. And that's good news from Willowbrook and Woodland.
Ms. Marshall.
All right. So first, from Jefferson Middle School, we'd like to make a shout out and thank you to the Jefferson Ski and Snowboard Club. They've been showing their support of Gatlinburg, the residents of Gatlinburg, in the midst of their rebuild. They've received a donation of T-shirts for Smokies to support the community. They've been going to Gatlinburg to ski for over 20 years. In fact, I remember when I was at Jefferson, I think they went to Obergatlinburg on a regular basis. So the heart of our kids is really showing through in the way that they're reaching out to heal and rebuild. They also donated a flag to the community over there for the same purpose. Also from Jefferson, the Atomic Eagles, JMS Master Builders, and Radioactive Bricks participated in the East Tennessee State Championship of Lego League. So it's basically a robotics competition. On February 11th, JMS Master Builders got second place robot performance trophy and the first place championship trophy. The Atomic Eagles received the third place champion award. Radioactive Bricks received the second place mechanical design robot award. See, the JMS Master Builders will represent Tennessee at the World Festival in Houston, Texas in April. So congratulations to those Lego League teams. The JMS Science Bowl team finished in third place at Regional Science Bowl on January 26th at the Toy F. Reed Employee Center in Kingsport, Tennessee. That's Jefferson. Then Robertsville, not to be outdone, has been busy too. Robertsville Middle School Technology Students Association, TSA, competed in the 2017 East Tennessee Regional Conference on Friday, January 27th. The regional team consisted of 22 6th through 8th graders, and the group took first place in 6 events, second place in 3 events, and third place in 4 events. The continued success of their team really wouldn't be possible without the leadership of their volunteer advisor team, so thank you to all those wonderful volunteers and their staff advisor, Todd Livesey. The RMS TSA chapter will spend the next few months focusing on preparation for the TSA State Conference in Chattanooga on April 6th through 8th, so congratulations there. And finally, a painting by Robertsville Middle School 8th grader Brian Fusen has been chosen to be part of the Dogwood Art Synergy Student Art Exhibit, so congratulations to Brian.
My good news comes from Oak Ridge High School and from district-wide. Three Oak Ridge High School students scored 36 on the ACT, Logan Rumbaugh, Bill Andrus, and Joe Andrus. Jake Etheridge and Dalton Morgan made first team all prep extra and cross country, and Jake Etheridge is also a finalist for Athlete of the Year in cross country. It's a personal request of Senator Randy McNally, our Lieutenant Governor, the Oak Ridge High School Ensemble performed for Tennessee's opening session in Nashville on January the 12th. 14 Oak Ridge High School band students were selected for All East Tennessee Band, and one student was selected for the All East Jazz Clinic Blue Band. The Oak Ridge High School Orchestra placed 18 students in the All East Tennessee Orchestra and 7 in the All-State Tennessee Orchestra. Next, we have some individuals in the audience tonight that when I call your name, I'd like for you just to come up and kind of make a line right in front of this area right here, and then I'll tell you why they're up here. From Linden Elementary, Glenda Bergener. From Willowbrook Elementary, Ashley Branson. From Woodland Elementary, Amy Brewer. From Jefferson Middle, Emily Haverkamp. From Robertsville Middle, Julie Kinder McMillan. From Oak Ridge High School, Tom Froning. From Secret City Academy, Lars Hondorf. And from Glenwood Elementary, she could not be here tonight, Christy Boroff. These individuals standing before you represent some of the best of the best. Every year, the Tennessee Department of Education, along with the Oak Ridge Schools, recognizes outstanding educators in the state with awards for their meritorious service and devotion to students. Each of these individuals who you see standing before you were selected as their Teacher of the Year from their prospective school. Let's give them a round of applause for that. And then from this group, and she will go on to represent Oak Ridge statewide, selected as Teacher of the Year for the Oak Ridge School District from Robertsville Middle School, Ms. Julie Kinder McMillan. Let's give her a great round of applause. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being here, and congratulations again. Thank you very much. Oh, wait, to keep the award, you have to stay. No, not really, I'm only kidding. Also, district-wide, the Allies for Substance Abuse Prevention had an event, a contest recently to select the Ally of the Year. The members of ASAP wish they could have been here, but they are currently out of the area on some training programs, but they did send this information. We did, however, want to take a moment to extend our sincere appreciation and give special credit to Dr. Bruce Borchers. Dr. Borchers accepted a nomination to participate in ASAP's Ally of the Year campaign this year. Candidates are nominated by community members based on their passion for creating a healthy community. Candidates are united by one goal, to use their leadership, influence, communication skills to raise funds to help prevent and reduce youth substance abuse in Anderson County. So, in our midst, congratulations to our superintendent, who is Anderson County's Ally of the Year. And if you have driven into Oak Ridge from Clinton, you see this billboard out there. So this is a replica of that billboard that I'm going to present to you now. And believe it or not, that's just some of the good news that's going on in the Oak Ridge schools. Next, under Special Reports and Presentations, 2020 Report, Dr. Borchers.
Yeah, I'm going to ask Mr. Jim Huntermark if he'd make his way to the podium here. We're going to give a brief presentation tonight on Oak Ridge 2020, which is our strategic plan and what's leading us forward. This plan was put together by a group of individuals, and you'll be reminded of those names again when Mr. Huntermark gets his presentation up. But it's really our framework that is going to lead us forward and has a vision for the future. And we've got a lot of work behind the scenes. The board has the KPIs that we've been working on. So tonight, Mr. Hundermark is going to give a brief overview. At the end of that presentation, you'll see a link to the document that's on our website. And then also we'll lay out future presentations on individual goals and when those will happen. So Mr. Hundermark, I'll turn it over to you.
Well, good evening. Thank you for having me here this evening. As Dr. Borcher stated, we're going to be talking about Oak Ridge 2020. This is our strategic plan. And in the presentation tonight, I hope that you see three parts, really where this plan has been, where we stand now, and where it's headed into the future. The Oak Ridge 2020 was born out of a desire to aggressively pursue academic excellence for all of our students. It's a continuous improvement model, and it's a strategic framework that envisions our future and looks at the steps needed to get there. There are really seven guiding principles. The first one, of course, is that it's always all about the kids. The next ones, as I go down through, is to take responsibility for our actions. All really does mean all. Excellence is about our best efforts. Engagement, integrity, doing the right thing at all times, and teamwork. The next slide has the committee members, as Dr. Borchers mentioned, and I'm not going to go through and read each of those names to you this evening. I'm just going to say at this time that I'd be remiss if we didn't thank everybody who served on that committee for their efforts, for their time, their devotion, and for their insights. The mission and vision is on the screen now, and that, if you look at the mission and vision and think back to the seven guiding principles, you'll see that they're interwoven throughout the mission and vision. And the idea is to prepare each student for excellence in education and in the workplace or after they leave us. One of the things that I find beautiful about Oak Ridge is we spend as much time talking about what the students look like after they graduate from Oak Ridge High School as we do what they look like while they're at Oak Ridge High School. We really are preparing them for life after Oak Ridge. So that's kind of where Oak Ridge 2020 has come from. And now I'm going to get out of the PowerPoint momentarily and head towards what Oak Ridge 2020 looks like currently. So Oak Ridge 2020 has five goals. We'll look at each one briefly tonight. I'm not going to go through each of the KPIs beneath them, and I'll explain that a little bit more. Goal one is academic excellence. Goal two is educator excellence. Three is learning environment excellence. Four is operational excellence. And five is stakeholder excellence. If we take a closer look at goal one, one of the things you're going to see with all of the goals is there are sub-goals beneath those, and for every one of the sub-goals, there are key performance indicators. We call them KPIs. We have a KPI listed for every one of the sub-goals beneath each of those overriding goals. And I'm going to draw attention to just a few of them as we go through this evening. So Oak Ridge Goal 1 is a world-class balanced curriculum and instruction focused on student achievement. One of the things that you'll find in there as you look through the various KPIs is you will find that we are utilizing what we have. And one place where that shows up is the percentage of our students who are involved in work-based opportunities. So if you look at that, that's an area that we have grown and we continue to grow. Just below that, you'll also see that we actively look for teacher input in our goals. And I'm going to scroll down just a little bit. You'll see those in each of the goal areas just about. I believe that we have teacher survey data or some way that we're trying to solicit data so that we can get what our teachers are saying about what we're doing as a district. It's not just about the student data, it's also collecting what teachers have to say. So for goal two, and it'll just take me a moment to get back over to it. Goal two is about educator excellence. We want quality teachers. So if you look at the very first set of KPIs, when we're talking about quality teachers and we're looking at people we're going to hire, maybe we'd like to know, how did those teachers perform in other districts before they came to us? So one of the things we're measuring is, what do their evaluation scores look like before they came to us? Specifically team scores, their TVOS scores. And then also, what do they look like once they've been here with us for a little while? All of those types of measurements where we are strategically looking at pieces of data now that we've had, that we might have utilized, but it's now in a much more measured way that we're utilizing it. So that's goal two. Goal three. You know, as we look through our KPIs, sometimes they show opportunities for advancement. We wouldn't want them all to be all sitting at level five and there's nothing to do. So as we look through our KPIs, sometimes they show us opportunities to work more closely with our community partners or for areas where we might grow with our community partners. One of the ones that comes to mind is, as you're looking through that, you'll see our capital improvement plan that embeds cost and energy efficiency. Now, I know that you all have recently seen presentations on how Oak Ridge is going to be dealing with this, but if you look at where it stands right now and what's been completed, this is a low mark. Not low that we're not doing what we need to be doing, but we haven't accomplished the goals that were set out by the capital improvement plan. I expect that measure will move greatly over the coming months and over the next couple of years. All right. So it's an area for growth for us. Going on to area four, operational excellence. Operational excellence talks about our resources and are we utilizing them? We're talking specifically the physical plant and the technology and things of that area within the district. So we look for KPIs that might measure how are we doing with our operations. One area is technology. It's a big issue here in Oak Ridge. It's a wonderful issue here in Oak Ridge. So we might look at how well do our systems stay online as compared to industry standards. You'll see that's very, very high. Our systems stay online very well. The things that our students and teachers need are there for them compared to what the industry would require. We also would look at how things get addressed. When a computer breaks down or if there's an issue, how quickly does that issue get resolved? All of those things are being measured for OR 2020. Going into goal five, stakeholder excellence. I like stakeholder excellence because we're talking about soliciting and getting involvement from our community. We are not separate. We are a city school system. We have community schools. Getting support from our community is of the utmost importance. So one of the areas that we have is, are we taking our students on career-based explorations? We have wonderful opportunities for our students right here within our city limits. And so that's a thing we are measuring now. And that takes a great deal of effort to get those types of events scheduled, and I applaud the people who are behind that. Another area that's also on there is, are we communicating effectively with our community? Tonight's an example of that. You know, are we communicating what the great things that are going on in Oak Ridge? So back to the PowerPoint momentarily. So the next part of the PowerPoint, or the final part, is really the next steps. As we pointed out, the Oak Ridge 2020 is really a continuous improvement model. So with that being said, it's always in a state of evaluation and refinement. We're never going to get to a point where this isn't a living, breathing document. We continue to search for appropriate KPIs. We continue to collect and analyze data. We continue to evaluate every KPI that's currently there. And looked and say, does this meet the needs of what Oak Ridge 2020 is trying to accomplish? As Dr. Borchers pointed out to you already, There's going to be in-depth presentations on the various parts of the Oak Ridge 2020 plan. At the next board meeting in March, we'll have an in-depth presentation on parts 2 and 5. And then in the April board meeting, you'll have a presentation on 1, 3, and 4. Once we get through this year, we'll develop a plan for when we might present on specific goals. The data for these goals, often, sometimes they come in at different times. We may have some at the end of the year, we may have some in July. Some of the data I can tell you right now, we don't get until closer till November. It wouldn't make sense to present on those goals during, you know, in August when we know that we're gonna have new data in November. So we'll develop a plan once we finish this year as to ongoing presentations for you. I do want to point out, I think I heard Dr. Borchers talking about it earlier as well, we do have the strategic plan available online. The link is there. But Dr. Borchers, is that off of your website as well?
I believe it is. If you go to the superintendent webpage, it's at the very bottom.
Okay. All right. Well, I thank you all for your time tonight, and I'm here for any questions if you have them.
Questions? Mr. Eby.
You know, let me say that I'm really happy to see this. Really happy to see how measurable each one of the sub-goals are within the overall goals, because that's how we're going to know if we meet overall 2020, if we, you know, get to the school system where we want to be at 2020, is to have measurable goals. And you've done that. I look forward to the report in March, look forward to the report in April, and look forward to this being a regular part of our program. I think it's very important for the community to see where we're going. I think y'all have done an outstanding job of laying these things out. Let's just take it out of the community. Thank you.
Excellent.
Is this document, is that what's on the web page?
That's correct. And as we talk about the presentations, we're working on a template right now. Ms. Cross is helping us with that. So when we do present information on the goal areas, you'll see it in a concise, similar manner. So you'll look for what are the strengths and what things are happening as far as strategies. And then you'll also see a slide on, okay, what are our opportunities. So we'll try to keep that very similar so you know what to expect when that comes before you.
Any other questions? Thank you very much. Appreciate it. The next item on the agenda is the public forum. The public forum is for anyone who would like to address a topic that is not on the agenda. You may address a topic that is on the agenda when it is presented. If you choose to address the board, you will have 3 minutes to speak. The board may or may not respond to your comments or may direct the superintendent to address your concerns. When you speak, please come to the podium and sign in there, and then please state your name and address for the board. We have, again, 3 minutes to speak. Is there anyone who wishes to address the board at this time?
Hi, I'm Roseanne Gardner of 125 Nebraska. I'm a youth bowling coach, and I'm here to explain that we have a great opportunity for the Oak Ridge High School and the youth bowlers. Here tonight, we have several different age U12. He's in third place for the state. We have an under 20 in first place for the state, as well as an under 15 in third place currently. So that would make a really strong competitive team if we had a bowling team. We hope that you would consider a competitive team, as right now we currently have a bowling club. Miss Gass, a high school teacher, is coaching that. But as we've collaborated, I've been noticing that there is an increased number of youth bowlers, including this upcoming group of freshmen, and also there's Oak Ridge residing homeschoolers that may collaborate with that group as well.
Local support would be provided by Len Hart. He's the owner of the bowling alley, and he offered to, for the teammates, free bowling lanes. And fundraising would also be to offset travel expenses as well as some competitive fees. Len Hart did mention that he would help assist pay for some of those fees. It would be like a rebirth of a dying sport, a non-competitive sport of bowling, and I think parents are looking for alternatives for their children, and as well as college scholarships. There are a lot of them out there right now. Current local schools such as Hardin Valley, Webb, and CAK are offering these teams. Also Bearden, and there's also Sevierville, Gatlinburg, Pittman, and Heritage, also to name a few. So let's make it a goal for Oak Ridge High School to consider shifting the club team to a more competitive team. And that's it.
I have a quick question. How long has the club team been in existence?
1 year.
And how many, and you may have said this, and I apologize if
That's
you did,
okay.
How many individuals do you have total participating on the club team?
On the club team, 15. And 12 would need to compete.
And this is, as I do recall, recognized by TSSAA as a state sport.
Correct.
Is that not correct?
Correct. Sorry, I have to look at
that's
the kids.
Okay. No,
they
that's
know this
okay.
stuff more
that's
than
okay.
I do.
Ms. McClain or Mr. Eby?
Yeah. Do you have a proposal on what it would cost to have a team? I know you said Mr. Hart's going to donate an awful lot, but what would we be asking from the school system?
We were working on a proposal. Just didn't know exactly what tonight would end up, and we can get that pretty quickly for you. Some of the other parents are nodding that they're working on that as well. So,
I will say your comment about college scholarships. My first cousin's son had a scholarship to University of Georgia to bowl, so there are opportunities
yes.
out there. So,
yes, it's that dying sport that people aren't looking down that avenue to, and anyone can bowl. You know, it's not.
Be careful.
Okay.
I still like to put the things in the gutters when I bowl. Ms. McClain.
Is there a bowling season?
It is. It's from September, thank you for asking, September to February. So that's the actual season. So I'm not sure how that would fall into the curriculum of the other sports, you know.
So one more question. The student that's number one in the state, what is your average and what's the highest game you've ever bowled?
Matthew. And Devin?
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I think maybe what we'd like to see, and since you've got this underway, mm-hmm. is, and follow up on the question that Mr. Eby asked, is a proposal that would cover the items that Mr. Eby alluded to, and just kind of get us on a path to have something that we could look at.
Okay.
And if you could get that to the superintendent's office, we can kind of go from there and see what might happen.
Thank you for your time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Those are the kind of public forums we like to have.
Yeah. Seeing no one else, I will close the public forum and move on to the next item, and that is the consent agenda. Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McClain, seconded by Ms. Agle. All those in favor of approving the consent agenda signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next, we move to items for action. The first item under items for action is a preschool site recommendation. Before we get a motion to move into discussion. I want to give a very brief timeline of where we were and how we got to where we are now. Approximately 2 years ago, a committee was formed, headed by Dr. Shirley Raines, who is here in the audience with us tonight. And this committee was composed of members of the board, superintendent, city manager, member of city council, principal of the preschool, some staff from the preschool, and some community members. And then we had some ex officio members representing the city and Oak Ridge staff. So that committee met to look at formulating a plan for a site location. During the course of those meetings, which were extensive, we looked at over 20 possible sites in Oak Ridge. Sites that were lands owned by the city, some land owned by private individuals, land that was vacant land, to land that had buildings on the particular site. In putting together a plan for a preschool, it's really a little bit more intense with the regulations that require what you have to have, not only in the building, but how the building has to be built. Much more so than if we were just building a K-12 school building. That eliminates some potential buildings that are already standing, that are may not be currently being used. We spent time, much time, reviewing those, looking at sites, that's going over A to Z with each possible site. At the conclusion of that, the committee unanimously recommended the site of Elm Grove as the site for a new preschool facility. At that point in time, a site that is now being discussed, the Scarborough Community Center, was not on our list simply because that particular building was being used by a preschool at that time. Since then, that preschool is no longer in that building, so that particular site became available. Members of the Board of Education toured that particular site, asked the city manager to go ahead and get core drillings and some engineering ideas about that particular site. And at the same time, as we glanced across the street, we said, let's go ahead and do the same for the area that's across the street from the Scarborough Community Center. And that was done. After the completion of those drillings and engineering, it was determined that the site where the Scarborough Community Center is located would require additional funding to bring the land into a place where it could be built on. Also, the board found that the administrative area of the Scarborough Center and the gym were going to be in use during the time which the preschool would be added on to that part of the Scarborough Center. And this created some problems with that being used during the time that the preschool facility was being used. Also, the city contracted with Studio 4, an architectural firm that's working on several designs for facilities throughout the city, to come forth with a conceptual drawing for a preschool, both at the Elm Grove site and at the Scarborough site. The first drawing was the addition to the Scarborough Center. The most recent drawing is a design that would fit into the Scarborough Park area and to the M. Grove Park area. We have, as a board, also had a joint work session with City Council to discuss the possibilities of both sites. This past Friday, the Board of Education held a work session where we brought in Mr. David Adler, who's involved in environmental management, to help answer some questions for us. And Studio 4 brought then the newest design for a preschool facility. With two sites available, we wanted to make sure we were comparing apples to apples on the site design, and we wanted to make sure we were comparing the benefits of each site with the location. Now we've, don't want to forget. Also, during the course of all of this time, board members individually have had discussions with Chief Akagi concerning safety concerns that might be present at all sites, not just the Scarborough site, the M. Grove site as well. Conversations with Chief Curley in regard to that department, the fire department, response time issues there with both sites. We have done a very thorough and exhaustive, I feel, review and study since this started almost 2 years ago. So tonight, the board will be making a recommendation of a site. That recommendation will be sent on to City Council. And our hope is that City Council will then take our recommendation, approve that recommendation, and then we're ready to stand for the traditional shovel turning of the dirt. As Mr. Eby will point out to you, he's been involved with the board longer than any of us. We've been working on this since the mid-80s. So it's time to get this done. We're in a position where this building can no longer effectively house our preschool and can just not meet the standards and the codes that are necessary to house that program. I have been asked this question. I'll go ahead and answer it now. What are you going to do with the school administration building? Well, more than likely, if this gets approved, let's say in the next 2 months, we're probably 2 years away from moving preschool into that new facility. So that gives us 2 years to figure out what we're going to do with the school administration building. But we haven't forgotten them, and that will be part of our planning process as well. So I think that's, and I appreciate you bearing with me on that, that's a brief overview of where we were and how we got to where we are now. So now I will so we can get into some discussion and open the floor for a motion, Mr. Eby.
Mr. Chairman, after careful consideration of all the factors and the objectives that we talked about the other day, I would like to make a motion that we locate the preschool at the Scarborough Park site.
You've heard the motion. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second made by Ms. Marshall. Comments or discussion from the board? And then I will make time for anyone in the audience who wishes to address this as well. Mr. Eby.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, as we talked about at the work session, gone through what I think are the important objectives. Obviously, first and foremost, I think are the two most important are the learning environment and the safety and the security. Other things that are important are cost, expandability, local community support, broad community support, any impact on city parks, the value to Oak Ridge as a whole, transportation cost, the support that I think we'll get from the City Council. And again, I think it's very important. I mean, obviously, we have to have that. And And I have gone through each one of those. I had several of the conversations that you talked about with city officials, heard from a lot of community members. And when I go through that evaluation and I do the pluses and the minuses, and there's a lot that are even, and it's great that we have two super sites to look at, but it's clear to me that the Scarborough site meets those objectives better than the Elm Grove site.
And something I did forget that I would add, that we did have the opportunity at our Friday work session to hear from members of the Scarborough community. And in addition to that, myself and other members of the board have had contacts with the residents who live there to get their viewpoint. And from my discussion, that has been a very positive viewpoint from those community members. And as Reverend Hammond pointed out to us on Friday, that he said he had learned that the streets located in that part of our community are named after traditionally black colleges. And he said our community is ready to move to the next phase of education. So, and I think that's very important. Ms. McLean.
The Scarborough neighborhood has voiced support for the preschool to be there, given the inevitable issues that are going to occur during the construction, the opening of the school, and the day-to-day running of the school. I think the Scarborough community will be much more tolerant and accepting of those issues. So I support Scarborough.
Other comments or Ms. Marshall, sorry.
Yeah, I think kudos to the Scarborough community members for being so vocally supportive. As a school board member, that's much appreciated. To their credit, the members of the East Village community and the area surrounding Elm Grove Park, we have had a significant amount of communication from those folks as well, and they have, I believe in my experience, based on the communications of outreach to me, I have not heard a single person supporting us locating the preschool in that neighborhood. So all things being equal, I agree with Mr. Eby. I've kind of been down my checklist. I've been back over and studied every piece of information we've been given, from Chief Akagi, from our own records here in the school system. Looking at what the community has said, it becomes a very simple choice, really, because on almost every data point, the sites are equal. Where it becomes differentiated is what the community members want, and the members of Scarborough community hands down want to locate the preschool there, and I think it's notable. So thank you for everybody in the community for being so communicative.
I would add also, if this is the site that is selected, I will mention again, the next step will be approval by City Council, and thank those members of City Council who are here tonight and the City Manager for being here and their involvement in this process. But I would issue a challenge to those people who are here and who may be watching or who will be reading the news media report of this decision tonight. As Ms. Marshall said, we have received many comments from people regarding Elm Grove and the Scarborough site. The one thing that we haven't received comments about is people saying, well, we don't need a preschool. The support for a preschool has been unwavering. So when we make this decision tonight, those people who have been vocal about not wanting one site or wanting the other site, now it's time for you to be vocal about, let's get this done and let's get this preschool built now.
Amen.
That's where we need your support. Don't leave us now after we've made a decision. Stay with us. Help us get this done. This is going to be a plus for our community. It's going to be a plus for our preschool kids, and it's going to be a plus for education in Oak Ridge. And one of the things that the conceptual design gives us in that design and the land gives us is room for expansion. And if we can continue to grow and we can get the funding, then this program can continue to place benefits for the students who go there and hopefully place benefits for students who maybe can come there. So don't leave us. Other comments from the board? Ms. Eagle.
I would concur with what's been said so far. When you go down the list of is there enough room, what does it cost, all the different checklists, as Mr. Eby suggested on Friday, the sites are relatively equal. The distinction is one community has been very vehement that they do not want it, although I have had a couple of people from that area who support it. But the difference is very stark, and that comes down to making the difference. Now, I do hope, because we had in the slides shown by the architect on Friday, some of the renditions had some alterations to Carver Avenue, where it would break the street in the middle with traffic circles in the middle so that it doesn't go straight through. In my opinion, that is critical to this being the best site that it can be. I intend to support the motion because the community support from Scarborough makes a huge difference. But I do want members of council to understand that, yes, the changing the traffic flow in front of that preschool is important to me.
Members of the audience, now is your time. And again, as in the public forum, if you would please sign in at the podium, and then after you do that, state your name and address for the board, and then you would have 3 minutes.
My name is Dan Robbins. I live at 41 Riverview Drive in Oak Ridge. I'm the chairman of Greenway's Oak Ridge organization and a member of the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. In neither of those capacities did I stand up to speak. I came to the podium because on the Friday work session, Mr. Phil Auer said, if anybody has expertise that bears on this issue, we'd like to hear from you. I have over 40 years of management experience in making decisions. And as you all know, a good decision is not a matter of which costs less. It's a matter of cost versus benefit, of option one versus option two. What we heard on Friday morning work session was that the two sites cost relatively the same. But in the Scarborough instance, the community is very much in favor. In the Elm Grove situation, the community is very much negative. We are all wildly in favor of the preschool program and aware of the need for a new building that's safe and secure. But given the cost versus benefit of the Scarborough site versus the Elm Grove site, I'm very encouraged to hear what you've said tonight. And that you'll make the decision in favor of the Scarborough site.
Thank you, Dan.
My name is Andy Lyle. Hi, Bob. I am part of the Elm Grove alumni group and was one of the people that organized the Saturday get-together a couple of weeks ago. I'm really encouraged with what you all have said. I just wanted to bring out a couple of points. I was amazed with the comments that we've gotten on the online petition site. From so many of the people that responded, that they were so much concerned about having a new preschool. It wasn't against the preschool, it was against the site. The thing about the Elm Grove Park is that there's been a huge percentage of people who've moved to Oak Ridge, to that neighborhood, because of the park. It was amazing how many people said that they had come to Oak Ridge, they could have come to West Knoxville, but they came to Oak Ridge because there was a park in the neighborhood. I'm an Elm Grove alumni. I grew up in Oak Ridge, left Oak Ridge for a long time and came back, and found that so many of the people that I went to Elm Grove with wanted to get together and be friends again. And we're really happy to have a place where we can go and just sit and enjoy nature and watch the animals that come out at dusk. And it's a very unique park. If you've never gone out there at 6 o'clock in the afternoon, it's a good place to go and just have some peace. So we're really happy that we have the chance of keeping our park. And we're all very involved in wanting to keep the preschool program and to help. So we'll continue working towards the preschool part too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Amy.
Seeing no one else, any other comments from the board? Motion on the, Ms. Eagle.
I just wanted to say thank you to the selection committee who put in a lot of hard work.
Absolutely.
This is something that came up afterward, which may have been why this site was not considered, but I'm very grateful for the work that this committee has done.
Motion, excuse me, the motion on the floor is to approve a new building site for the Oak Ridge Schools, and that building site would be the Scarborough Community Park area. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next, next item on the agenda is Board Policy 4.301. This is a second reading on interscholastic athletics. Do I hear a motion? Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of Board Policy on interscholastic athletics on the second reading.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Marshall. Dr. Borchers.
This is just coming back for the second reading. We added the Title IX piece to the front of that policy as we discussed, and we believe it's ready.
Questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, motion is approval of Board Policy 4.301. Interscholastic athletics. This is the second reading. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda is a resolution in support of the execution of the contract with Energy Systems Group. I would mention that Mr. Russ Nelson with ESG is in the audience. If anyone has questions, then he's available to answer all the questions. I will read the resolution and then entertain a motion. The resolution says, a resolution authorizing the superintendent of schools to proceed with the finalization of a facilities upgrade project. Whereas the Oak Ridge School Board approves school district administration to proceed with the necessary steps in cooperation with the City of Oak Ridge to finalize the execution of a contract with Energy Systems Group for a facilities upgrade project impacting all schools. Now, therefore, it be resolved by the Board of Education of the City of Oak Ridge that the Board authorizes the Superintendent of Schools to proceed with the finalization of a facilities upgrade project. I would entertain a motion for approval.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Marshall, seconded by Ms. Eagle. Comments first, Dr. Borges.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, just to be clear, with the resolution that Mr. Chairman just read is really giving me direction to continue to work with the city manager. Obviously, this needs to be approved by the city. We've got Pat Fallon here as well. So I'm taking that resolution as to continue to move forward, working with city manager to hopefully bring this to fruition. At some point, Mr. Watson and I will certainly be working on a joint resolution that will have much more detail, and I'll be working with Mark and taking his direction as well on that joint resolution.
Mr. Eby.
And Dr. Borchers, when do you think that we'll get that joint resolution, and when might we think that the city would fund us to go forward with this?
That's a question I cannot answer, but I know Mr. Watson and I will be discussing that in the near term. I believe, Mr. Chairman, you had a question for Mr. Nelson.
If I do. With the approval of this resolution and the then moving forward with City Council to put together a joint resolution that will, as the superintendent stated, will finalize the details of the project, what can you give us an idea of your timetable or ESG's timetable of when they would like to get started? And I know this is a multifaceted project, and we've talked about this, but would you, as best you can, give us what you would need to see as a beginning point and of ending point?
Okay. I'll keep the answer short, and I'll let you ask a follow-up question if this isn't enough information. But there are a variety of projects, and our preference is always to get a jump on the summer vacation. And I know for Oak Ridge Schools, that's not a long period of time, but we also like to get a jump on the, what we call the shoulder weather months. So in between really the end of summer and before we really get into heating, that's some of the best time to make conversions. A lot of the work that we're gonna do, we can work regardless of school being in session. That's what we've been required to do across our entire career as a company. So we're pretty good at doing that and not even having people necessarily know we were there after they left school. But our preference would be to make full use of the summer vacation time. So we like to prioritize the quickest payback things. We'd like to get savings started for you flowing in. But preferably, to give you a specific answer, we'd love to be able to really order equipment by the 1st of April. The closer you get to summer, the longer a lot of this equipment tends to take, because there are other schools in the nation that order similar stuff. And so.
So the best scenario then would be the ability to start the project by April.
That would be wonderful. We could do you more good if we can do that.
Ms. McClain. Okay. Mr. Eby.
So I think it's really important that we move forward on this. We say that every day that we don't do it, we're flushing money down the commode and kilowatt hours out to the atmosphere, encouraging our warming, contributing to global warming. So hopefully we can get this started quickly.
Other questions? Thank you. Appreciate it. Motion on the floor is approval of the resolution in support of the execution of the contract with Energy Systems Group. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda is FY18 IDEA discretionary grant. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of FY18 IDEA discretionary grant proposal.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. McClain. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Hebrard is here, but I think if the board looks at the attachment to this, you can see what a great idea this is. And for our public, the grant proposal was written to afford students with disabilities the opportunity to continue in the Read Naturally program at Jefferson, Robertsville, and Oak Ridge High School. So well worthy cause here.
Comments from the board? Or questions? Hearing none, motion is approval of FY18 IDEA discretionary grant. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda is the 2018-2019 school calendar. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the 2018-19 district school calendar.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Mr. Eby. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Lee is very excited to take Mr. Eby's questions this evening, so I'll turn it over to him.
And I have one.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that introduction, okay? Basically, we followed the same process that we have in the past. Basically, the school selected a representative, and they actually spoke with their peers prior to our first meeting. The first time that we actually met, we just discussed basically what is important to our staff members, what are they looking at, what do they want in this school calendar. And we basically came up with 7 questions, and of course you have that information. 78.25% did not support starting school any earlier. 97.77%, they were in favor of maintaining that Wednesday off as a non-work day, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. 71.27% supported closing school on Election Day. The last several years, we've just had more people concerned about security. 84.51% supported the first day back in term 2 as a non-student day, which is a great day for staff. That allows them to get prepared for the students' return, plus we have PD in the morning. 80.23% were in favor of the last day of term 1 as an early dismissal day. 72.33% were not in favor of having equal number of student days in each of the 2 terms. Now, this is sort of, you think that doesn't make sense, and the reason they were not in favor is because basically to attain an equal number of days in the 2 terms requires potentially an earlier start to the school year. So that sort of tainted that question. 81.92% support winter break being a full 2-week block. If we basically, if our last day is in the middle of the week, you actually lose 2 days to the winter break. So they basically wanted it to be a Monday through a following Friday. So once you took that information and developed your calendars, if you think about basically the survey results, the start date was the same, which basically made the end date the same. We kept the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. We were not going to have school on Election Day. Basically, the only adjustment we could make to the 3 options were when we would have our winter break. Basically, we put that to a vote, and 55.14% basically voted to have option B, which is your 2 full weeks at winter break. The beauty of this calendar is that we are within 3 days of having a balanced term 1 and term 2. And when you look at weather and testing, that's a very nice number. So that's basically what the process was. Questions, please?
Mr. Eby.
Oh, you've done an excellent job here. I do have one question. I'm not aware of an election we're having this year. And so taking off Election Day, I'm struggling with why that would happen and why, because elections are every other year. Is there an election this year?
Well, this is the 2018-19 calendar. Yes, sir.
What are we doing this year? You got me. Yes. You got me.
You know, I was due, okay?
Yes,
keep in mind, this calendar is 2 years out. We already have next year's calendar in place, all right? So, and that is confusing, okay? The only reason I understand that question is because I'm part of the committee, okay? But we have to think 2 years out. It's not uncommon sometimes to get questions like this time next year about our calendar, you know, and it's been 2 years since that decision was made, and people forget how we voted, so, okay. Thank you.
I did make a note of that, too, for future. You got that in the minutes, didn't you? Yes, okay.
It's still early in the board meeting. We haven't got to attendance, okay?
Any other questions, Ms. Marshall?
Yes, so thank you. The survey questions, such as they are super helpful, and I think they give us feedback on the calendar as it stands, which is awesome. I think my bigger question is probably a higher level question than these details. These details do a great job of addressing critique for the under the assumption that we're maintaining a balanced calendar ongoing. As I understood it, when we initiated Balanced Calendar, we committed ourselves to maintaining feedback on how does Balanced Calendar work versus a more traditional calendar schedule. And I think I was sort of hoping we might be able to have the conversation about that in context of making another year's commitment to Balanced Calendar, because I'm still frankly getting community commentary on the change in summer in comparison to Maryville's Balanced Calendar, which has a shorter fall and spring breaks. I have a list. I don't know that we need to burden the conversation with my list, but I think I would love to have feedback from both teachers and perhaps a constituency of parents to say, how's the balance thing really working for us? And I'll be completely transparent. I'm a parent. I have children in the school system, and our feedback to you would be mixed. There's some things about it that we love, and there are other things about it that are very difficult for our family. And that may be the unanimous, but I guess from an instructional perspective, has it been worth it? When will we know if it's been worth it or not? From a student and family perspective, how are folks feeling about it? So I guess, do we know that? Can we ask those questions before we have to vote for 18-19? Do we have time, or do we have to make a call on this?
And I'll sort of turn this question back to Dr. Borchers, but we do have, there is a date this has to be turned into the State Department, which is?
Well, actually, we have time. From the when we turn it into the State Department, we do have time. So I'm not the blockage here.
Okay, very good. One drawback we had, it would have been nice, in a perfect world, to have had test data to see was there a benefit to going to the balanced calendar, and that's one thing we're lacking for the most part because of a lack of testing last year. But basically, we do have time to put a survey together, and we could do that and put this off.
We would just need direction from the board if that type of survey is wanting to be put together, the time frame. One thing I want to be careful with, we'd have to be look at those questions in detail. I think you can get some emotion behind a decision like this, and rather, I wish Mr. McDonald's was here, but we've had hundreds of students make up failing grades during these intersessions, and it's hard to put a number on that. We can do that, but I think it's probably going to be a little difficult to quantify something like the turning a failing grade into a passing grade and what that ultimately is doing for a student. So we would just need direction and probably some help in defining those questions to get to an answer that you might want.
Mr. Chairman, can I? Okay. I think what I would say is if your direction to us as a board is simply we have not had enough time to be able to have data to say whether this is working or not, I can accept that. What I would ask is when will we have time and when is the appropriate time to look at the data to say, do we feel like this is improving our educational experience for our students the way we wanted it to, and again, be able to remove some of the emotionality from it.
Memory refresher. When was our first year of going to the balanced calendar?
This is year two.
This is year two?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Mr. Eby.
Yeah. So that's my question is that from a statistical standpoint, how many years do you need to have to know whether it's, it's working or not working? And I'm not sure that 2 years of data is going to give you that answer statistically. I think the standard deviation will be so large that you're not going to be able to tell.
I'm guessing we would need 3 years. I think the quandary that we're in is that if we get 3 years behind us, we have the data and we're not satisfied with it, we're 2 years out from being able to do much about it is my only concern. And I don't think that's not the end of the world. I do want to flag that for the community to understand, because of the way we have to submit our calendars to the state, because of the lead time that we're on, the ship will not turn on a dime if we decide we don't like this. And if we decide we like it, great. We can continue to tweak and improve, but.
And I think your point is well taken. And as we go back to when we started, at a point in time, we do need to evaluate if this is the right
process for our school. Like has been said, we just need to make sure that we have conclusive information that will provide the right answers, whatever those answers might be. And I don't know that, you know, is it 3 years? And we are in it, but just because of the way we have to do the calendar puts us in a situation that probably is not the best solution to make that decision. But I try to think back of how many years or how much time we spent before we ever made this decision. So, you know, my thought is we've got to get to where I would think we would need to get to where we're at this point approving the 2019-20 calendar to be able to make that decision. That's just me thinking that.
I think that would be fair, and perhaps moving forward, though, we don't start this next year at this time. Mr. Lay and perhaps members of our admin council, his calendar committee, could start to develop, okay, what would be those factors we would measure? How would we measure those so that we can start working on that now and then survey at the appropriate time?
Right, and that's what we need to do, and that I think that's where you wanted to take us with that to begin with. Ms. McClain.
I think if we could start collecting data about what is happening in the intercessions, that would be good, and it would be easy to go back now. It would be harder if we wait until another year to go back and see what has happened. That would be helpful.
And I will add, we actually had a similar conversation with the committee, and we felt like perhaps it was too soon to start asking such questions because we haven't been doing it long enough. But we were never really successful in determining when is the right time, you know, how much time is the right time. So it was a conversation that we had. So,
Ms. Eagle.
Well, we do receive data on the intercession programs, but if we can get the next time that's presented specific numbers of X number of students who were failing class are now passing, that sort of thing, that would be helpful. We will need probably at least one more year, if not a couple more years, to look at test scores and see where that falls in. The comments that I have heard are overwhelmingly positive. Now, invariably, the 1st of August, there's a little bit of grumbling. I can't believe it's time already. It's still so hot. But that fades very quickly as fall break approaches. And as soon as we hit fall break, every year I hear from teachers and parents, I love this. My kids need a little bit of downtime. Or for the kids that need to catch up, my kid needs a chance to catch up. So it has been far more positive than I thought it would be.
Ms. Reby.
Yes, and when we visit the schools, as we're sitting there for breakfast, that is one question that I ask every table that I sit at. And I agree with Ms. Eagle that the responses I've gotten from the teachers have been overwhelmingly positive. But I think Ms. Marshall's is a good question, and I think you're right. I think we got to wait until we have enough data statistically we can say this is, because otherwise, you know, you're going to be out of control. Up, down, up, down.
And I would agree, it is difficult on administration, I mean, all staff, when you start just changing calendar, a major change. I mean, it's number one, it took a long time to do it the first time, but it does take a lot of work on behalf of our schools and our staff and adjustments on our families. So we want to be careful not to overdo that. So.
And I know you would do this. To me, it would be important to see where we were when we started and to show the you know, where we were at that point in time, not just, well, in this year we had 200 people involved. How many did we have the first year? How many, you know, do we show increases, declines? I think that's an important part as well. Well, here's an important announcement that just came through. The Lady Wildcats win 48-47. to advance to the region finals and sub-state. So, good. That's very good. Okay. Motion on the floor is approval of 2018-19 school calendar. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item, FY17 budget transfer. Number two, transfer of funds. This is a first reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the transfer of funds detailed in the attached information. These changes do not impact the overall appropriation approved by the city and requires no action of City Council.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. Eagle. Dr. Borchers.
You can see from the attachment this isn't a large amount of money, just moving some things for grants and various things.
Questions? Motion is approval of FY17 budget transfer number two. This is a first reading. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda is FY17 budget expenditure amendment number one and budget transfer number three. First reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend the approval of FY17 budget amendment number one for expenditures and FY17 budget transfer number three as presented.
This would just be our second reading on this topic.
This is our first reading. That's probably a good time to mention. We're asking, this will be the same thing and then a second reading, correct? So we'll have first and second. Is that your question?
Is that not what I said?
Yes. I think what you meant was in G, we're doing the first reading, and in H, we're doing the second reading
right.
on the same action.
Right. That's what I meant. I knew what I was saying. Okay. Any comments or questions? The motion is approval of FY17 budget expenditure amendment number one and budget transfer number three. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries unanimously. We didn't?
Move for approval.
Motion was made by Ms. Eagle.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Eby. Got that? Sorry. My mind went somewhere else. Mm. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Okay, moving along to I, addition of 1.0 regular education teaching assistant.
We have to go back and do H, Mr. Philauer. The second reading.
I just did
that. Was first reading, was it not?
No.
You just did G.
Okay. I must have been. Do you have that, Lynn? I don't believe so. That's not how I...
I think you forgot to record the motions on G, and you went back and did that. And then you kind of voted twice, but you didn't do the motion on H yet.
Did we have a motion made on G?
What I heard was the motion that was made after that was for H. For G, excuse me.
I'll move for G.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay, Mr. Eby made a motion and Ms. Eagle seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. This goes to show that we're all human. Okay, are we ready for aye? And that's the addition of one regular education teaching assistant. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the addition of a 1.0 regular education teaching assistant at Glenwood Elementary.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McClain, seconded by Ms. Marshall.
As you can see from the attached memo, we just have some, this is a good thing, but we are getting very close to the attendance averages where we have to be watching this. So we thought at a minimum, Mr. Lay worked with Glenwood, and getting a TA for the rest of the year is very much appropriate. And as you can see there, we do have the funds within this year's budget to do that.
Questions? Motion is for approval of an addition of one regular education teaching assistant. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item J, purchase of two grade levels of one-to-one student devices. Dr. Bortruff.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend the approval of one-to-one student devices from CDWG at a total cost of $448,477.75 as Phase 2, Part 2 of the Access Oak Ridge Project, pending City Council approval of the second reading of FY17 Budget Amendment Number 1 at the March 2017 City Council meeting.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Eagles, seconded by Ms. Marshall. Dr. Borchers.
A real high-level summary here. We've talked about this at our last meeting. This would allow us to purchase these devices in time to have them ready for the start of the school year, and we then would be with Access Oak Ridge in grades 5 through 12. And I think as we've some of the pain points at the high school have been only two grades at this time, and we have multiple grade level courses, and this would help alleviate that issue.
Questions? Motion is to purchase two grade levels of one-to-one student devices. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item K, purchase of student devices for elementary schools. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend the approval of the purchase of student devices from Trinity 3 Technology at a cost of $58,025, pending state approval of the Title I budget amendment. This purchase will replace many outdated devices on carts at our elementary schools.
Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Marshall, seconded by Ms. Eagle. Dr. Borges.
I'll ask Dr. Beckendorf to give a brief summary on that item.
We have some funding within our Title I budget. As you all know, this school year, all four of our elementary schools are Title I schools. So we do have some funding within Title I that can provide some support to our elementary schools. We have some carts that have some computers on them that are, you know, you have to keep them plugged in all the time. They're just outdated and need to be updated. We don't have enough funding to replace all of them, but these devices will help them quite a lot with what they're trying to do in schools every day.
So where it says pending state approval of the Title I budget amendment, that means we have the money to do this, but the state has to approve the usage of that title money to be able to do that? Is that what that means?
Basically, what happens with the state is that we have this back and forth that goes on where we submit a plan and they suggest revisions and we submit revisions and they come back with additional revisions and it goes back and forth. The state has supported this purchase. We don't have any concerns about this particular purchase, but the state needs to press the green light on the current revision status that we're in order to draw down the funds. But the actual device purchase itself has been part of the plan for months, and that is not an issue. So that's already gone through their approval. Did I say that right, Dr. Williams? Okay.
Ms. Eagle.
So if this will not replace all of the existing student devices, will these be similar devices to the MacBooks, or will they be the PC technology we've been implementing elsewhere?
And I'll see if Mr. Cover, I'll look at him to make sure I say this correctly, but they will be PC devices. They will be touchscreen PC devices. So they will be similar to what we have in our middle and high schools, but at a slightly lower cost device, but it will be a similar product. So we are trying to be a Microsoft district. That does help us with on the technical end to make sure everything is consistent. So they would not be Macs, they will be PCs. Is that correct, Mr. Gopher?
Other questions? Motion is for purchase of student devices for elementary schools. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. We move next to items for information. First item is sick leave bank. Dr. Borchers.
Just very briefly, you can see the attachment there. We have added Kim Brinkman to our board of trustees for the sick leave bank. So she replaces Ms. Phillips' term, and that term will expire into 2017.
Enrollment report, comments or questions? Financial report for January 2017. Any attendance?
I can get you back.
I am not, and there's a term for this, but don't say it out loud. I can't keep up with this one and this one at the same time. If this one is not matched up with there, I've gone completely different. This is because I get to change this one. When you've got somebody change, that's my excuse. When you've got somebody changing this one for you, it's a lot easier than when you have to do it yourself. That's my mark for the day. You can put that in minutes if you want to. Sorry, attendance.
I do have a question.
Okay.
First, let me say I really like this first chart of how you have all the grades and then unexcused and excused, the attendance graphs. It's easy to see. But if you look at that, then you see that basically the unexcused absence from first grade up is almost, particularly when you get into the middle schools and all, is a increasing trend. And so is there should be a reason for that. Can you explain?
I actually have no explanation. I will tell you that I'm glad you requested this because it did reveal where some of our issues are.
Yeah.
And as you know, Mr. McDonald has been very vocal, his concern about poor attendance, and it does demonstrate that, especially at the high school level, sophomore, junior, senior class, that you know, our attendance is definitely higher than the rest of the district.
I didn't know if maybe they were on college trips and those aren't excused absences, or if there's just, like you say, maybe unexcused, but it gives you something to look at, and now yes, we can dig into it and ask more questions. So
you would have, 3 days per student for college trips for your, I guess, juniors for their college trips. And so I know that does happen. You know, in kindergarten first, I would just sort of, speculate. Children that age sometimes are sick more often, so that makes sense.
And a lot of times parents don't feel bad about taking them out for a trip or something like that. So I don't – that increase in the K doesn't bother me. But if you look at it, it's pretty level all the way 1 through 7 until you start getting in the higher grades, and then just kind of is a swing up. So
it definitely warrants further conversation to see if we can determine what is going on. So and just so you know, we are in the process of scheduling another meeting with our district attorney, our chief of police, to further discuss what we can do to assist families in basically improving their child's attendance. So we're working on it. So.
Thank you.
Other questions? Now, financial report. Moving on to items for discussion. Old business. I would report that Ms. Marshall, Ms. McLean, Ms. Eagle, and Dr. Borchers had the opportunity to attend our legislative day on the Hill last week, where they were able to interact with our state legislators to try to get them directed on the right path. We'll see in the coming months how successful they were, but that's a good opportunity to at least those legislative members who will attend the functions to at least have some face-to-face time. I would also mention, I believe it may have been today. Was today the League of Women Voters, or is it next? Today. The League of Women Voters now cranks back up with their candidate forums on Mondays, as they did today. Breakfast with the legislators. It's not a forum per se.
So that's available. Please go out and voice your opinions and ask questions if you have the opportunity to do that. New business. I would report that Ms. Eagle will be hosting Focus on Education a week from, March the 8th, on March the 8th, on Wednesday, March the 8th. And I gave the report for the Oak Ridge Lady Wildcats and would remind everyone that the Oak Ridge Boys Wildcat team will be playing against Maryville tomorrow night at the Wildcat Arena. It's the second game of the region tournament at 7:30 at Wildcat Arena. So I know they would appreciate support as they move along with the Lady Wildcats in their quest to play in the state tournament. So we wish them the best for that. Any other comments or information from the board? Thank each of you for coming. Board members, thank you. We are adjourned.